Sukshma is always feeling separation. So I wanted to begin by reading some things that Prabhupada said on this topic, and then we can discuss them. So let us hear from some, we're going to hear mostly from letters, but some correspondence. So here's a lecture, 1969, January 13th. Vani and Vapu. And Vapu means the physical body, and Vani means the vibration. So we are not concerned about the physical body. Not concerned means we are concerned, of course, because the spiritual master, those who are acharyas, their body is not considered as material. Arche Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatir, just like the statue of Krishna. To consider this as stone, that is not correct. Similarly, Arche Shiladhir Gurushu Na. Gurushu means those who are acharyas, to accept their body as ordinary man's body. This is denied in the Shastras. So although a physical body is not present, the vibration should be accepted as the presence of the spiritual master. What we have heard from the spiritual master, that is living. You'll see in these pictures, this movement was started by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then it was entrusted to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then we are trying to serve his word, and many of my godbrothers there also. In other words, they're also trying to serve his word. So I think one of the most important things here for us to understand, Prabhupada says, although a physical body is not present, the vibration should be accepted as the presence of the spiritual master. So, and when we're referring to spiritual master, as Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you only have one Diksha Guru, but you can have unlimited Siksha Gurus. So that also means for those who are not disciples of Srila Prabhupada, that means the spiritual master means Srila Prabhupada. It could mean any devotee, anyone whose books we're reading, the books of Rupa Goswami, the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. If you've read any of those books, you're associating with them also in that sound vibration. In fact, Prabhupada, when he wrote Nectar of Devotion, he said, by reading that, you're associating with Rupa Goswami. So, again, I'll read this. The vibration should be accepted as the presence of the spiritual master. So just like when we're chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Prabhupada has said repeatedly that Krishna is present in his name. But until we're on the stage of bhava, we don't fully realize that. So we're chanting the name, and then we're sometimes thinking, I wish I could see Krishna. In other words, by desiring to see Krishna, really what we're affirming is that we don't realize Krishna is in his name. So therefore, we're feeling the desire to be closer to him or to be with him, although he is there physically present in his name. And because we don't have experience of physical presence through sound vibration, then it's very easy for us to consider that he's not actually present. And it's just we're chanting a mantra. So similarly, in hearing the sound vibration of the spiritual master, hearing the words of Srila Prabhupada, either reading them or hearing the recorded words, often devotees will say, I wish I could be with Prabhupada. I wish I could have been with Prabhupada. And then those who are not his disciples, those who did not have his association physically, they often feel that they missed something in their life. They didn't have that association, and they're transcendentally jealous of those who had the association. I wish I could have been there. What was it like to meet Prabhupada? I'm always asked, what was it like to be in his presence? I'm so unfortunate. I took birth at the wrong time, or I could have had his association, but I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't into spiritual life yet. I was too absorbed in material activities, and I didn't take advantage. We shouldn't see it that way, but we should see, as Prabhupada said, the physical sound vibration is how you associate. Now, we may not realize that, we may not understand how that's possible, but Prabhupada has said that. So how do we deal with it? Well, we begin by accepting it. Okay, he said that. So now how do we understand that? Well, We treat the sound vibration as Prabhupada's personal presence, or the sound vibration of any devotee we're hearing from. They are non-different in that sense, particularly the spiritual master or senior Vaishnavas who we are feeling we want their association. But oftentimes it happens that one can be in the association of an advanced devotee and be miles and miles away, be universes away, because we're not really hearing. Or maybe we're hearing, but we're not executing the instructions. So that's why often Prabhupada would say, well, excuse me, he would not put a lot of emphasis in the physical association, because you could be physically associated, but not actually hearing from the spiritual master, not serving the words of the spiritual master. So we can understand that even one is not physically present with the spiritual master, but one is serving the instruction of the spiritual master, one is actually closer to the spiritual master. And that's how one is close, through service of the instruction, service of the order. That's where the intimacy is. It's not a physical thing. Of course, according to our material ideas and conceptions, we understand intimacy in a specific way. We want to tell everything to another devotee. We want to share our lives intimately with another devotee, and that would be considered intimate connection. For us who were disciples of Prabhupada, that was rarely possible, only for some leading devotees. And even that, they wouldn't share so many intimate things. Prabhupada had a movement to manage, so we didn't want to, waste his time. So we may not think it's a waste of time to reveal ourselves in that way, but Prabhupada had better things to do. But still, we felt an intimate connection. We felt that Prabhupada understood us. He understood our heart. He guided us from within. And we had his mercy by following his instructions. So it was very intimate in that way, but it wasn't intimate physically. And then, of course, after Prabhupada left, we could no longer have that physical association. But the point is, those who never met Prabhupada, those who came after Prabhupada had left, can still have that intimate association. You don't have to be initiated by Prabhupada to have that. But he's reciprocating with everyone, and he'll continue to reciprocate with everyone, and you can have a very intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. You could even have a more intimate relationship than some of his disciples if you follow his instructions better than they're following them. So we have to see it that way. Those instructions are available to everyone, and we have Prabhupada's association by following those instructions, so we all have the opportunity to follow them. And then devotees who are not initiated by Srila Prabhupada will feel intimate and feel very close to Prabhupada. So many devotees have that experience. They feel very, very close to Prabhupada and feel very much guided by him, even if they've never met him, but just by meeting him through his words. So this is how we meet the spiritual master, through his words, but more particularly through executing his instructions. So let's read on, and let me check if anyone has any questions. Ganapati Das, welcome. Manjesh, welcome. We're trying to, there's a limit now. Now we have 10 of us online and on the chat. Well, there's more online, but there's 10 of us. Apparently, Ajinkya, you're here. Welcome. Congratulations. Ajinkya is going to get married. He's engaged. I already know Ajinkya, to a very wonderful devotee. And Ajinkya is a very wonderful devotee also. I don't know after 10 if we can get on. So anyway, Hare Krishna, everyone. So we'll go back and I'll continue reading. This is a letter from 1970. Prabhupada writes, "We are not separated, actually. There are two, Vani or Vapu." So Vapu is physical presence, and Vani is presence by the vibration. But they are all the same. Interesting, they're all the same. In our present condition, we don't see them as the same. Prabhupada is saying they're the same. So we need to understand how that's the same. Krishna, when he was physically present before Arjuna, is the same when he is present before us by his vani of Bhagavad Gita. So we're getting the same instruction that Arjuna received. Therefore, Krishna is present before us in his words of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada also says that Krishna is present on every page of the Bhagavatam. In one purport, Prabhupada writes that there's no difference between reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and meeting Krishna personally. Of course, as I was reading that, I was thinking, no, there must be a difference. But actually, there isn't. I was just not realizing Krishna's presence in the pages of Bhagavatam. If I were, I would not think there's a difference. So when we think there's a difference, then we understand, no, I'm not realizing Krishna's presence in the pages of Bhagavatam, in the pages of Gita, in his holy name, in his deity. But if and when I am, then I will see there's no difference. Then I will realize Krishna's presence there, and I won't think, oh, it would be nice if Krishna were here. It would be nice if I could see him. Well, we won't think like that. So let's continue. So far as I am concerned, I do not factually feel any separation from my spiritual master, because I am trying to serve him according to his desire. That should be the motto. If you kindly try to fulfill my mission for which you have been sent there, that will be our constant association. So apparently the devotee was sent somewhere, and the devotee is feeling separation from Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada is saying, I never felt separation from my spiritual master. Now you could say, well, maybe when Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, naturally in that environment he would not feel separation. But you would think perhaps coming to America he would feel separation, but he's saying that he didn't. So if you kindly try to fulfill my mission for which you've been sent there, that will be our constant association. So now here Prabhupada's showing us another way to associate. It's through service, serving his mission. So we all have some service in Prabhupada's mission, or we all can have some service in Prabhupada's mission. And then when we're rendering service in Prabhupada's mission, even if we're rendering service to another devotee who is serving in Prabhupada's mission, that means we're also serving Prabhupada's mission, which means we're also serving Prabhupada. So anyone who's serving within ISKCON, anyone who's serving in any way to help distribute Prabhupada's books or spread Krishna consciousness or help others spread Krishna consciousness, particularly spreading it through ISKCON, we are serving Prabhupada's mission, and therefore we are with him. So that is a very simple and easy way to associate with Prabhupada. I'll read that again. That should be the motto. If you kindly try to fulfill my mission for which you have been sent there, that will be our constant association. So as we are engaged in devotional service, all that engagement means constant association with Prabhupada. Very nice. For all of you out there who say, I wish I had Prabhupada's association, well, Prabhupada is saying, through serving his mission, he will be your constant association. So that solves that problem. This is a letter from 1972. Next, you ask if I am present in my picture and form. Yes, in form as well as in teachings. To carry out the teachings of Guru is more important than to worship the form. But none of them should be neglected. Form is called Vapu and teachings called Vani. Both should be worshipped. Vani is more important than Vapu. So Prabhupada's making the point, well, and he's made this many, many times, yes, the Vani is more important, but it doesn't mean you neglect the Vapu. And as we said, I believe last week, I mentioned that often, or the week before, that often when devotees had trouble, sometimes Prabhupada would allow them to travel with him to get inspired. Sometimes he would recommend that they travel with a senior devotee to get association. So we're not saying that Vapu, or the physical presence of advanced devotees or the spiritual master, is not important. First point Prabhupada's making is there's really no difference. because the spiritual master lives through his instructions. He's vital, he's alive through those instructions, and he is those instructions. So by associating with those instructions, you're associating with him. So in that sense, being in his physical presence or through the association of the instructions is the same thing. Yeah, the physical presence of the spiritual master can be very powerful. It can be very motivating because the spiritual master emanates Krishna consciousness. Just like if you watch videos of Srila Prabhupada or if you see pictures of Prabhupada, you can become very, very inspired in Krishna consciousness. You can become very enlivened, very happy, very peaceful just by seeing the physical form. So we don't want to minimize that, but what Prabhupada is saying is that you have a phenomena that sometimes devotees, they just feel that they need to be physically in the presence of their guru, and that's the only way they can be Krishna conscious. So then that becomes like a crutch, and the instructions of the spiritual master can be neglected or not taken so seriously. So certainly Prabhupada wanted to avoid that, and he wanted to make us realize that he came here not to give his physical association, but he came here to give his instructions, which is why he spent so much time writing his books, because he knew that he wouldn't be here forever, but his books would last forever. And therefore we would have his association always, or any time we wanted it, we could have it. So of the two, as Prabhupada said, Vani is more important. And Prabhupada's saying here, but if you are in the physical presence of the spiritual master, certainly you should serve him, you should take care of him, you should worship him, honor him, facilitate him in any way. Now, we should think of ourselves as those who are helping Srila Prabhupada further his mission. That's our service. It is Prabhupada's mission, and we are just humble servants, or we are humble servants of those who are serving his mission. And we should understand that to be a servant removed many times is the highest honor. We shouldn't think, oh, I wasn't a direct servant of Prabhupada. I'm not a direct disciple. Or I'm not an important devotee, or I don't have important service. But to serve the Vaishnavas is such a privilege and honor, and it is the only thing that will make us happy. And if we think, no, I have to be a direct servant, or worse, if we think, I need to be served, it'll just cause us misery. So we should relish this, you know, this reality that we have opportunity to serve Prabhupada. And if we serve, oftentimes when Prabhupada was asked, well, how do we serve you? He'd say, you serve my temple president, or serve your authority. That is service to me, because they are my representatives. Or through them you're serving my mission, so that's service to me. So we have to be able to learn how to feel this connection, even in what materially seems to be a very distant position. Well, I'm just far, far removed. I'm just serving another servant who never saw Prabhupada, who's not an important member, something like that. No, we shouldn't think that way, but we should think service is always an honor, and we should always feel fortunate and grateful to have service, even if it's small service, even if it's menial service. Some service in Prabhupada's mission means that we are connected with him, means that his mercy falls upon us. And Prabhupada is very pleased when we serve the other Vaishnavas. So sometimes our service to the other Vaishnavas, the other side of this equation, since we're talking about balance, sometimes our service to the other Vaishnavas is to accept service, because senior devotees often have to accept service. Excuse me. Senior devotees often have to accept service, and devotee doesn't really like being served, doesn't relish being served. Actually, it's painful, because the devotee wants to serve others, and a devotee is happy to serve even the youngest devotee, the newest devotee. And within our movement, we see everyone as a son and daughter of Prabhupada, and we see everyone as a valuable member, and we feel it's an honor to serve anyone, because we know, we understand, and we experience that through serving anyone in ISKCON, we're serving Prabhupada. At least that's how we should feel. That's what we should understand. Okay. This is a letter, 1975. As I was leaving the temple to come here to Bombay, you have, I'm due receipt of your letter. She gave him a letter as he was leaving leaving the temple on his way to Bombay. You've rightly said that the best way to associate with the spiritual master is to follow his instructions. There are two ways of associating, by Vani and Vapu. Vani means words and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. That means sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. And you can't control when you have a physical presence. Unless you just want to find your spiritual master and wherever he goes, you follow him around. But then you might not be able to do significant service. And so, for example, Prabhupada had a secretary, he had a personal servant, he had a Sanskrit editor, and that was his entourage. And of course, some devotees would follow Prabhupada here or there, but not, you know, if it was close to their temple. But to simply follow your spiritual master and not do any service, Prabhupada wouldn't appreciate that. So we didn't find that devotees would just follow Prabhupada. I mean, you know, follow a little bit, but that their service wasn't just to follow him. So Prabhupada's saying, sometimes you have the association of your guru, and sometimes you don't. At least not physically, you don't have it physically. Therefore, we should take advantage of the Vani. So Prabhupada's, it's kind of the obvious conclusion. Since you don't always have the Vapu, take advantage of the Vani, because you can always have that. Therefore, we should take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence, because the Vani continues to exist eternally. Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer present physically from the materialistic viewpoint, still Bhagavad Gita continues. So you have correctly concluded. I guess the conclusion this devotee made was physical presence is not as important. Now, we can become very attached to a devotee. We can become very attached to our spiritual master. And if we lose their association, or if they leave their physical body, it can be very difficult because of that attachment. So this was certainly the case when Prabhupada left. And more so the case in the sense that the whole movement at that time was depending on him, and he ran the whole movement, and we were all very young devotees, so we kind of felt like orphan children in the sense that we didn't feel really capable or qualified to maintain the movement, what to speak of spread it. So it was a very difficult time for us, and many of us were coping with this understanding that Prabhupada has not left, because we felt terribly hurt and terribly, we mostly felt abandoned. Not that Prabhupada was abandoning us, but we couldn't understand why Krishna had taken Prabhupada away. We were all thinking, Krishna, we're not ready for you to take Prabhupada. Why are you doing this? We don't understand. We're not ready. We can't maintain this movement. We can't expand it. We're young devotees. We're not qualified to be gurus. We're not qualified to make serious managerial decisions. Krishna, why have you taken Prabhupada away? So in that sense, we felt abandoned and puzzled and frightened of what would happen, frankly, and a little hopeless, worried, concerned. What will the future bring without our spiritual master? So it was a very, very difficult time. And then at that point, we had to understand this topic of Vani and Vapu, and it was very, very difficult. We understood, as we're reading here, Prabhupada has said this so many times, we understood the Vani is the real association, and this is where we take shelter. But having had the Vapu, the physical presence, since 1966, or which means since the time any of us joined in ISKCON, Prabhupada was there. It was very weird to have a movement without him. It's like you have a mother and father and your young children. And so your family means your brothers, your sisters, your mother and your father. And you can't conceive of your family without your mother and father. It's not a family. So it was like that. We couldn't conceive of an ISKCON without Prabhupada. And then he left. And it was this big void, this huge vacancy. It was like, how do we have a movement now? Of course, we understood that Prabhupada has left us his books with volumes and volumes of instruction. So in that sense, we had the shelter. And at that point, that became our only shelter. It was now the only way we could associate with Prabhupada. Whereas before, we could associate physically, or we could write a letter, or we can ask a devotee to ask Prabhupada something. Now we couldn't do that. So for many of us, it took many, many, many years to understand how Prabhupada was physically present. And Prabhupada often said that if you serve the spiritual master, he will guide you in his absence. And so as the years went by, devotees experienced that guidance, particularly by taking responsibility within his movement and going more deeply into understanding what actually were the essential desires of Prabhupada. What did he come to give? And how can I represent that to the world as the obedient follower, the obedient son or daughter? And the more we did that, the more we began to feel connection, as you could imagine. If you're understanding the essential mission of Prabhupada, the essential instructions, and then you're living that and giving that, there's a natural bond, a natural connection. So I'm telling you all this just to say that it's not so easy to experience a physical presence of the Guru, to realize the physical presence or the Guru or any devotee who we're feeling separation from. One of the things that I find very powerful is that we can meditate on a devotee. The devotee may not be physically present. It may not be our spiritual master. It may be any devotee who inspires us. And we can meditate on them and think about them and think about their activities and think about their qualities. And in that way, through that meditation, there's a connection with them and there's an inspiration that comes through that connection. And often we can think, I'm in a particular situation now. I'm thinking of this devotee. Let me think of what he might say in this situation. Let me think of how he may act in this situation, what he might do in this situation. How would he respond to the circumstances that I am in presently? Or would he have responded the way I responded in this situation? So in that way, we're carrying that devotee's image, the devotee's qualities, the inspiration we can get from that devotee, the instructions that devotee has given. We can carry them with us and we can feel their presence. So when, for example, we're alone, we won't feel we're alone. We'll feel the presence of this person guiding us. And so Prabhupada, he can also guide all of us from within. If we serve him, serve his instructions, if we pray for his mercy, we pray for his guidance, he's there. He'll give it. And we'll feel it. We just have to be open to it. So let me go back and see if you have any questions. I was timed out. Can I get back in? I'm back. Ganapati asks the question, how will the movement be affected after all of those who walk beside Prabhupada are gone? Who will carry the torch, so to speak? Good question. This question was asked to Prabhupada. Who will lead your movement after you die? Was asked to Prabhupada more than once, I believe. And Prabhupada shot back and he said, I will never die. I will live forever in my books. Now, early on in the movement, I believe it was 1967, Prabhupada said, I want all of my disciples to become spiritual masters. And then one time he said, perhaps by 1975, all my disciples will become gurus. So it was Prabhupada's ambition that his disciples, all of them, would carry on the mission. Now, of course, Prabhupada was the one spiritual master and leader of ISKCON. But it doesn't mean that his disciples are not qualified to carry on the movement. And in fact, he was training them to carry on the movement. So when he said they'll all become gurus, obviously they would not be gurus like him. They would not be competing with him as founder acharya. They would be, as he said in his words, regular gurus. Not something overly special, but regular gurus to carry, because who will better understand what Prabhupada's mission is other than his disciples? And those disciples train their disciples so that they understand the essence of Prabhupada's teachings and the essence of Prabhupada's mission, and then they carry that on. So it's meant to go through disciplic succession where one is being trained. And that's why it's so valuable to hear from senior devotees, especially to hear from them about Srila Prabhupada, to understand more and more what is ISKCON, what is Prabhupada's mission, what are his teachings. Of course, you can read his books, but sometimes you may miss things that only those who were with Prabhupada would understand about the teachings, which are reflected more in the mood. Just like when somebody speaks, you can see, you can hear, so you understand more about what they're saying because you can feel it through their intonation and through their body language. So those who were with Prabhupada, they have that advantage. But still, Prabhupada felt anybody could understand him through his books, through his teachings. If you want to know me, read my books. So that's how things will go on. So we should all feel some responsibility to understand Prabhupada's teachings, to understand his mission, so we can properly represent it. I know for myself, one of my pet hobbies in Krishna consciousness is to read every book I possibly can and hear every talk I possibly can and watch every video I possibly can on Srila Prabhupada. Because in these books and talks, we see how Prabhupada acted in a myriad of situations. And by doing that, you understand more clearly what his mood is and what his mission. Because you can hear about him acting in situations which we now have to deal with ourselves. And what did he do? What did he say? How did he react? How did he teach in that situation? And you start to see patterns and consistencies. And you begin to understand more and more, yes, this is what Prabhupada emphasized. This is what was important to him. This was not important to him. He didn't even emphasize this. Or when it came up, he played it down. This is what he thought was a dangerous path for devotees, or this is where he saw danger possibly lying ahead. So I think all of us should do that. We should understand Prabhupada as best we can through all the literature available about how he dealt with millions of things, millions of situations. And I find it almost necessary to understand his books, to see how he was practically dealing with things. And he dealt with different people differently. It wasn't homogeneous. This is one question and he gave one answer. This is a situation that repeats itself and he did the same thing. No, he did different things. And then we try to understand, why did he do that? What was the point he was making? Why was he concerned about this? Or what was he concerned about that he made this point? So I think all senior devotees feel it their obligation or their duty to Srila Prabhupada to understand him deeply. It is, you know, we have this prayer to Rupa Goswami, from Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam. And it means, when will I have the mercy, Manobhishtam, to understand the desire of Lord Chaitanya? Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. So this is a this is the desire of every disciple, to understand the heart of his spiritual master. And for all of us in ISKCON, that means to understand the heart of Srila Prabhupada and what he wanted. And then automatically, if you take initiation from a disciple of Prabhupada, then you understand your spiritual master's heart, because his heart is simply what Prabhupada wants. And then if we continue that, then you become spiritual master, and you've understood your spiritual master's heart and Prabhupada's heart, then your disciples understand your heart, which is your spiritual master's heart and Prabhupada's heart, then we carry it down. So this is how Prabhupada expected the movement to grow, that thousands and thousands of devotees would understand the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his mission, and then these thousands of devotees would become spiritual masters. Now, when Prabhupada left, none of us felt that we could be spiritual master, but someone had to do it. Even today, devotees who have been in the movement 40 years don't feel like capable, qualified, which is, of course, a natural feeling. And you may be thinking, as I'm talking to you, oh my God, you mean someday I have to become spiritual master? Well, not someday. How about, yes, like right now. You have children and you're and wife, so you're the guru of your wife, your children. Anyone you can help in Krishna consciousness, you become their guru, in the sense that you guide them, not that they bow to your feet, not that they wash your feet, not that they put your picture on their altar. Not like that, but you guide them. You become their teacher, their mentor, their exemplar. We're all meant to do that. Now, we don't feel qualified, we feel reluctant to do that, but that's what Prabhupada wants. So sometimes we have to do things that we don't feel qualified to do just because it's what Prabhupada wants, and because he wants it, we don't have a choice. So yes, he's asking me to take this responsibility, to be acharya, to set an example of Krishna consciousness by my action, and teach others through my action. And I think, oh my God, I'm not qualified to do that. I barely can keep my head above water. Okay, maybe that's true. But now you're being asked to do that, so you better get your head way above water, because that's now your service. And so we take that service enthusiastically. You see? And then we rise to the occasion as best we can, because that's what Prabhupada wanted. And if we do that, then Prabhupada empowers us. And through that empowerment, we understand more and more what is his mission, how to exist within his mission, as we spoke about, I think it was last week, how to cooperate within his mission and maintain our individuality. But because we understand his mission, we understand he wants us to be part of it, he wants us to be an example of his teachings. It's so nice to think, what is Prabhupada teaching, and therefore what does he want me to be in my life as an example of those teachings? When he's writing his books, what is he thinking? How he will train devotees to act in a particular way. What is that way he wants us to act? That's a nice meditation. So we shouldn't be passive listeners. Passive listener means, oh, that's a nice instruction. That sounds good. And we don't do anything. So in Prabhupada writing his books, and Prabhupada teaching us, his mood was not that he was teaching passive listeners. His mood was he's teaching people who will apply what he's teaching. So that's how we hear. We hear to understand what is it essentially that Prabhupada is saying, and translating that into, what does that mean in terms of my mentality, my consciousness, and my action? What is he saying I should be thinking? What is he saying I should be feeling? What is he saying I should be doing? And that's how we hear. What example should I be setting? we shouldn't be thinking, oh, I can't do that. That's too difficult. That's not for me. Maybe not this lifetime. Maybe the end of this lifetime. Oh, no, that's way advanced beyond me. I could never do that. Oh, I'm too attached. That's not how you hear. That's not how you associate through the instructions. But you associate by coming to the essence of those instructions and thinking, what is that essence and how can I put it into action? That's the idea. So let's go back and read, unless someone has a question they want to ask. Let's go back and read some more. I think it'll becomes more clear as we read more. Okay, listen to this. This is a lecture by Prabhupada. No. This is the closing statements of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe. Yes, closing statements of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishna Das's Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend, although according to material vision, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936. I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and by Vapu. Vani means words and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present, from the materialistic point of view, Bhagavad Gita continues. So this was quoted earlier. This part of this was quoted earlier. So Prabhupada is saying, by material vision, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has passed away, but I consider His Divine Grace to always be present with me. So Prabhupada said that many times. He always felt He was present. Now, you could say, if you know, that Prabhupada wrote a poem, and it was about separation. I think it's called Viraha Ashtakam. It's about the separation he was feeling from his spiritual master. But the interesting thing about the separation that he was feeling is he was feeling separation in relation to the outcome of his spiritual master's movement, because in the spiritual master's absence, the Gaudiya Math was no longer flourishing as it was when Bhaktisiddhanta was present. So Prabhupada was feeling the pain of his separation in that sense, but not feeling separation personally in his life. So it's interesting, isn't it? He wrote a viraha, an astaka of separation, 8 verses in separation. So he's feeling, if you read this poem, you can see Prabhupada's feeling intense separation, but it's all in relation to the failings of the Gaudiya mission and as related to how it was successful when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was alive. And so Prabhupada was lamenting what has happened to his movement. The Godbrothers did not stay together, but they separated. They lost the power and the force that comes from being together. So he was lamenting that. So in that sense, you could say he was feeling separation from his spiritual master, but simultaneously feeling his presence. Interesting. Let's read the next one. Next, you ask if I am present in my picture and form. Yes, in form as well as in teachings. One time, Prabhupada was leaving New York for the first time. And I said, Prabhupada, we're going to feel your separation. And he said, I think they had a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta at that time. And they put it up on the wall. And he said, no, Bhaktisiddhanta is looking at you. He's overseeing you. He's seeing you or overseeing you. So he's present there. And then Prabhupada said, you can put a picture where Prabhupada had a seat. He said, you could put a picture there And that way, I will be present. I'm present in my picture. And then the devotees described that they, you know, they didn't know how they were going to do it without Prabhupada, because Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada were basically synonymous for them. But they followed Prabhupada's instructions. They continued the morning program as Prabhupada had done. They had the kirtans as Prabhupada had done. They had the classes as Prabhupada had done. They did everything as Prabhupada did. And later they wrote to Prabhupada and said, yes, we're feeling your presence here because we're following your program as you gave it to us. So, okay. I'm going to go and see if you have any questions or comments. Let's go. Okay, we'll continue. Okay. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Srila Prabhupada, so next time you read Bhagavad Gita, then think, well, I'm associating with Krishna through these words. Krishna is speaking to me. You can take it. Krishna is speaking to me personally in every word, every instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. And then you'll feel Krishna's presence because you'll feel, okay, these are personal instructions to me from Krishna, which they are. It's to me, it's to you, it's to everybody. Srila Prabhupada said, although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and Vapu. Vani means words, Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but Vani continues to exist eternally. So we read that. I think it's good to read these over and over again because you see they're very similar. Some of these, of course, are identical. We've read them twice. But I like reading Prabhupada's instructions on one topic because after a while of reading many instructions, you kind of see the essence, the point that keeps coming up over and over again. Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto, 28th chapter, text 47 of the Bhagavatam. The disciple and spiritual master are never separated because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple strictly follows the instructions of the spiritual master. So, you know, sometimes one has a spiritual master and one doesn't follow that strictly. And so, well, we may not be feeling so close to our spiritual master, but by following the instruction of the spiritual master, by following Prabhupada's instruction, we'll feel very close. Prabhupada's saying that here. The spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called the association of Vani. Physical presence is called Vapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the body. We read that. And when spiritual master is no longer physically present, disciple should serve the instructions. We read that well. See how well I prepare for this class, right? You'll have to excuse me. Today was one of those days. Okay, Bhakti and Carol. Says, thus the Bhagavad Gita or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord is also the incarnation of the Lord. There's no difference between sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. Quoting from what I read. Krishna is in his name. The holy name is Krishna. So the holy sound is Krishna. Pallavi asked, Prabhu, what if one feels one's spiritual master is cross, not happy with them? If that is even possible. What if they feel they're not able to serve their spiritual master properly? I just heard a nice story about this. So, One devotee had been having some trouble in Krishna consciousness. And he's trying to recuperate, and you know, he's kind of going up and down and this and that. So he had been doing service all day, or he had been on some preaching mission, he had come back, and he had his own set of problems that he's dealing with. So he comes back in for darshan, and as soon as he walks in the room, Prabhupada was saying, there are many devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement who wear tilak, dhoti, kuntamala, but they're not Vaishnavas. They're pseudo-Vaishnavas, they're fakes. So because he was kind of feeling himself fallen or not genuine, and he heard Prabhupada say that as soon as he walked in the room, he kind of went crazy. And he thought, basically, Prabhupada just said, I'm not a devotee. And as you could imagine, if you're, what if your spiritual master said, Pallavi, I don't think you're a devotee. I mean, I know what you're doing and I can see your heart and I don't think you're a devotee. So what would you do? You might just give up. Maybe you'd kill yourself. I don't know. You might want to give up Krishna consciousness. At least you'd be quite depressed. So I don't know how long he waited before he got the courage to ask Prabhupada. And he explained what I just explained. Prabhupada said, no, I wasn't talking about you. You're a devotee. You'll always be a devotee. So the point of me telling this story is that sometimes we do something and two scenarios are there. One is we think the spiritual master is pleased, but the spiritual master is displeased, but he's not. It's just you made a mistake and people make mistakes. And so that's okay. Because the spiritual master is more pleased by your attitude than your external results. Of course, if you're doing something extremely important, which could mean the loss of some land or a loss of large amounts of money, yes, then the spiritual master might be very upset if you do something, if you make a mistake, which could have been prevented. But in general, the spiritual master is pleased by the attitude. So sometimes we imagine the spiritual master is not pleased. It's just our own creation in our mind. Oh, I've done something wrong. He's not pleased. But if you're not sure, then you can ask him. Or you can ask him, how can I better please you? Are you displeased by what I'm doing? And or is there a way I can please you more? And then, because sometimes the spiritual master, he doesn't want to push the disciple, because he doesn't know how sensitive the disciple is. Some disciples, if you get very heavy with them, they're very happy. Some disciples, if you get very heavy with them, it'll tear them apart. So sometimes the spiritual master needs to know. You know, Guru Maharaj, tell me if this is not right. If you're upset, please tell me. Or if I'm not doing this well, please tell me, let me know. Did I do this okay? So it's better to do that than imagine that he's displeased. I never really saw Prabhupada displeased as long as the disciple was sincerely trying to serve him, or a devotee in a position of authority did not take care properly of the devotees under him. Yeah, that would displease him. I think Prabhupada was displeased if we vowed to follow four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. And we didn't. Now, some devotees might say, okay, he understood it was difficult. Maybe that's true. I would say he was pleased if we did follow it. If we didn't follow it, I would say perhaps somewhat concerned, perhaps discouraged is a better word than displeased. I don't know. If we feel we've offended our spiritual master, yes, we should ask for forgiveness. That's natural. For forgiveness from any devotee we feel we've offended. That's natural. Now, sometimes we offend people because we have that kind of personality where we offend people. So we should If we have a doubt, we can ask, did I offend you? Or you may say, if I did offend you, please forgive me, I didn't mean it. It was not intentional. And of course, you show that by acting properly in the future. That's real apology, real forgiveness. So again, we want to become servant of the devotees. We want to serve them in a way that's pleasing. Now, you know, it's hard to be a servant because oftentimes we serve according to what we think will be pleasing when it's not actually pleasing or not most pleasing. Or sometimes we serve according to the way we like, but it's not what the person we're serving would like. As in cooking hot and spicy and oily food. Maybe not everybody likes it hot and oily and spicy. Right, Pallavi? So we may think, well, this person likes it hot, oily, and spicy because I like it hot, oily, and spicy. But maybe they don't. Of course, your intention was to please them, but it's good to find out what pleases them. Yes. And as you said, I would bow down to his feet crying and asking for forgiveness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yes. If we ever offend a devotee, we should bow to their feet and ask for forgiveness. But a disciple, it's not like a disciple should be like he's walking on pins and think, well, everything I do is displeasing my spiritual master. The spiritual master is not like that. What the spiritual master sees, or any devotee sees, is the intention in the heart of the devotee. One great devotee, Jayananda, could not chant the Gayatri Mantra. And when he was trying to chant it, Prabhupada was just laughing. He said, Krishna understands your intention. So Prabhupada wasn't unhappy or displeased that he couldn't chant the mantra properly. He just laughed. He said, Krishna understands what you're saying. So Prabhupada saw the mood. So the mood is most important. I mean, you know, we all have different levels of experience, so we may not be able to do everything that well. But really, there's a nice story. Giriraj Swami went to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, you know, I've studied your teachings. I've listened to you speak. And to me, what seems the most important things to you are distributing your books, publishing and distributing your books, and building Mayapur. And Prabhupada said, yes, you've understood. So that's a disciple. You know, he understands, he tries to understand as best he can what is the desire of his guru, how he can best serve him. Now, another nice thing you'll see, I don't know if you know this, but it might appear to you, or it might seem to you, and it's true in some cases, that everything going on ISKCON, everything that went on in ISKCON during Prabhupada's physical presence with us, established or inaugurated. And that's not always true. Because sometimes devotees, in hearing and understanding, by hearing and thus understanding Prabhupada's desires, began programs without Prabhupada asking, but Prabhupada just intimating that this is this and this and this is how Krishna consciousness should be spread, or this and this and this is what should be done. And the devotee putting two and two together, thinking, oh, I can see Prabhupada wants this and nobody's doing it, so we should do this, we should start something. So a program may start, whatever it is, a school, a farm, a restaurant, a particular kind of preaching outreach program in colleges and schools with certain ethnic groups. We're started taking the inspiration through of Prabhupada's instructions, but not exactly the plan. Now, this, as I said, and this is not the case always, but it is the case sometimes. So these disciples were understanding what Prabhupada wanted. And so that's how, you know, the disciple can look at Prabhupada's mission. You know, what is ISKCON doing? What does Prabhupada want? What is my spiritual master doing? What does he want? What is my temple president doing? What does he or she want? And then understanding that, consider how I can serve. And so I think if that's the mentality and that's the desire, how to better serve Krishna, how to better serve Prabhupada, how to better serve the Vaishnavas, then there's really no question of displeasing. We may mess up sometimes. But if we're, you know, trying to be attentive to detail, we're trying not to be negligent, then that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. So I have one more thing I'd like to read before we close. A few more things. Physical presence is immaterial. Presence of the transcendental sound received from the spiritual master should be the guidance of life. That will make our spiritual master, our spiritual life successful. If you feel very strongly about my absence, you may place my pictures on my sitting places. And this will be a source of inspiration. Yes. So that was 1967 when Prabhupada was leaving New York, as we mentioned before. But always remember that I am always with you. As you are always thinking of me, I am always thinking of you. Although physically we are not together, we are not separated spiritually. So we should be connected only with this spiritual connection. You know, one time Prabhupada said, wherever the holy name is, of course there's Krishna, but wherever there's Krishna, there's his devotees. So Prabhupada said, when we're chanting, we're all together. All the devotees are there. So we're never separated in that sense. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, everybody's there when we're chanting. The whole disciplic succession is there. It's nice, huh? There are two conceptions, physical and the vibrational. The physical is temporary, vibrational, eternal. When we feel separation from Krishna or the spiritual master, we should try to remember their words or instructions, and we will no longer feel their separation. Such association with Krishna and the spiritual master should be association vibration, not physical presence. It's like, you know, you read a book by some great author, you feel close to that author, you feel that author's touched your life in some way. They've had, you know, you may have a personal association with so many people, but you may have read a book by someone who's changed your life and or helped you in so many ways. You feel indebted to that person, you feel close to that person. That person could have lived 500 years ago, but you feel a connection. I shall remain your personal guidance, physically present or not physically present, as I'm getting guidance from my Guru Maharaj, so we can all get guidance from Prabhupada, as we discussed. It is sometimes misunderstood that if one has to associate with persons engaged in devotional service, he will not be able to solve the economic problem. To answer this argument, it is described here that one has to associate with liberated persons, not directly, physically, but by understanding through philosophy and logic. Again, by hearing. I am always with you. Never mind if I am physically absent. Well, the Prabhupada saying, he's always thinking of his disciples. His disciples are thinking of him. We're always together. Spiritual master, excuse me, the spiritual master is naturally always thinking of his disciples out of affection. And the disciples out of affection is always thinking of the spiritual master, so they're always together. I always feel, I don't think there's ever a day that I'm not remembering Prabhupada. I just feel like my life is guided by him. I can't do anything that he doesn't want me to do, and I have to do, or I want to do, the things that he wants me to do. So it just pervades my life. And it should be that way for all of us. Another letter. You write that you have desire to avail of my association again, but why do you forget that you are always in association with me? When you are helping my missionary activities, I'm always thinking of you and you're always thinking of me. That is real association. Just like I'm always thinking of my Guru Maharaj at every moment. Although he is not physically present, and because I am trying to serve him to my best capacity, I am sure he's helping me by his spiritual blessings. So there are two kinds of association, physical and preceptorial. Physical association is not so important as preceptorial association. As far as my blessing is concerned, it does not require my physical presence. I just heard this story. One devotee had maybe got second initiation from Prabhupada or was in his room. And they were looking at Prabhupada's feet. And finally, they got the nerve to say, "Prabhupada, can I touch your feet?" And Prabhupada said, "That is not required." In other words, it's not just like you touch the guru's feet and that's it, you know. What's required is to hear the words. That's considered touching his feet, is to follow his instructions. If you're chanting Hare Krishna there and following my instructions, reading the books, taking only Krishna prasadam, there's no question of you're not receiving the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, whose mission I'm humbly trying to push on. Anyone who has developed unflinching faith in the Lord and the spiritual master can understand the revealed scripture unfolding before him. So continue your present aptitude and you will be successful in your spiritual progress. I'm sure that even if I am not physically present before you, still you will be able to execute all spiritual duties in the matter of Krishna consciousness if you follow the above principles. So Prabhupada's saying he'll give us strength to follow those principles. So although a physical body is not present, the vibration should be accepted as the presence of the spiritual master. What we have heard from the spiritual master, that is living. So as Prabhupada said, I'll live. I'm just going to read a few more things. So spiritually, there's no separate question of separation. Even physically, we may be in a far distant place. We are not actually separated. Vapu is physical, Vani is present by vibration, they're all the same. So here Prabhupada says, I also feel separation from my Guru Maharaj. When I'm engaged in his service, his pictures give me sufficient strength. To serve the spiritual master's word is more important than to serve him physically. So I think that point is clear. You get a sense of what Prabhupada is saying here. Yes, so anyway, I think like some of you are saying here, Pinky is saying that we feel connected to Prabhupada by reading his books, by engaging in his service and his mission, and it's going to be the same for devotees who come thousands of years in the future. They'll feel connected to Prabhupada, and they will be connected, and Prabhupada will guide them, give them intelligence, come to them in dreams, and be there for him, because he's not a limited physical personality. And those who are Prabhupada's representatives are only trying to clarify and edify what Prabhupada has given. And we should all be trying to do that anyway, on our own. Okay, thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you, Pinky. And yes. Ganapati says, I look tired. That's because I am. And so I'll be able to get it done. I was with my daughter, cooking three meals a day, serving her. And I'll tell you a little something before we go. It's very interesting. I was staying with some devotees a couple weeks ago. And these devotees are wonderful, exemplary devotees. Although they wouldn't want me to say that, but I can say that because they're not here. And they, thank you, Carol. I look good even when I'm tired. Maybe I'll wake up. I'll sit up straight. I'll wake up. So they were serving me. I was guest in their home. They were cooking three meals a day for me, providing whatever I wanted, taking me wherever I needed to go. Any questions or anything I had to deal with, they were helping me with. And kind of like I felt like a king, basically. You know, and, you know, the king, anything the king wants, he gets. He has a million servants. So I was feeling uncomfortable a little bit. Maybe unworthy to be served that way. And feeling perhaps inconvenience, I was making it inconvenient for them. But they weren't feeling that way. But anyway, I came back to Alachua and was with my daughter and her friends. So I get to serve them. I get to cook, clean the pots, clean the kitchen, take out the garbage, you know, do the things that we all do. And I was feeling how wonderful it is to serve and how difficult it is to have to accept service, especially on that level where people are so willing to serve and so willing to honor another devotee. And it just hit me so much how happy I was to serve and how hard, difficult it was to not be able to serve, but to have to take that service. But anyway,